broadest realm, it covers every essential items of people's daily life. Some people hoard in order to sell it after the prices go up, so that they gain the fortune to buy them in a higher price and earn a lot of profit. And sometimes, on the other hand, we see some other people that as soon as they realize that the product will be becoming scarce, they buy it as much as possible, so that if it becomes scarce, their mind would be at ease. It is narrated from the Prophet to have said, "No one hoards but the one who is in error." This narration is written in Sahih Muslim. Imam Ali also says to his famous deputy, namely Malik Ashtab, when the Imam dispatched him to the city of Egypt, the Imam said to him, "Bear in mind that many of people are intensely greedy. They hoard grains and try to sell it at a high price. And this is the most harmful to the public." Then the Imam continues, "A governor should move against this evil act and should prevent them from hoarding, for the Prophet of God had prohibited it." In Islam, doing anything that causes harm to others is absolutely forbidden, and it is haram. As a result, hoarding that inevitably falls under the category of causing harm to the needy is forbidden. In Islam, a believer is encouraged to be generous, to be unselfish, and also devoted to others, as the Quran praises those who let go of their needs, so let others be benefited as well. Welcome back. You are listening to A to Z from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of hoarding. If hoarding be practiced by the majority of people, it can create a real shortage of some necessary supplies. In some countries, the poor people might even be at risk of real hunger. The lack of essential supplies on one hand, and the need that people have on the other hand, puts a lot of pressure on human nerves, and this itself will cause many problems for people in a society. In the Islamic lifestyle, not only one should not only think about his own personal desires, but it is also stated that if there is a famine in a society, everyone should try to limit his buying and to buy only what he needs to a small and little amount, so that others can also effort to buy as well. In addition, there are many narrations that when there is a shortage of an essential commodity, those who are able and wealthy should help other peoples, so that the needy people do not suffer deprivation. How different are these teachings of Islam from what we see in some media, that when a flood or an earthquake or a pandemic occurs, some people rush to the shops and buy as many essential items as they can and store them at home. This behavior is a type of self-righteousness as an act of disregarding for humanity, and this behavior is highly condemned and criticized in Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Thank you. in the limelight.
Following the official announcement of Donald Trump's candidacy in the 2024 U.S. presidential election and the strengthening of Ron DeSantis' presence in the race, other Republicans are looking for a way to enter the race. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered the story and tells us more. America's 2024 presidential race is showing signs of kicking into gear amid reports that Florida's right-wing Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, is now laying the groundwork for a White House bid as Donald Trump finally hits the campaign trail. Ron DeSantis' moves even spurred Trump into attacking him directly, as the former U.S. president held relatively low-key events recently in the key early voting states of New Hampshire and South Carolina. Before seeking to attack DeSantis' actions over fighting the COVID-19 pandemic, Donald Trump said, "Ron would have not been governor if it wasn't for me. When I hear he might run, I consider that very disloyal." DeSantis began his time as Florida's governor in the shadow of Donald Trump, whose political messaging he closely emulated. But he has since emerged as Donald Trump's most powerful political rival in the Republican Party, increasingly popular with many party officials who are wary of the scandals and chaos that accompanied Donald Trump's time in office. The Washington Post has reported that DeSantis' political team has already identified potential campaign hires in states like Iowa and New Hampshire, whose traditional early spots in the nomination contest give them outsized influence on the race. Citing two Republican sources with knowledge of conversations and staff meeting on Ron DeSantis' team, the paper said the Florida governor was in close talks with two current and experienced members of his current team, Phil Cox and Jenera Peck, about possible senior roles in any 2024 effort. Bill Bowen, a New Hampshire Republican delegate, told the paper that his state would probably be receptive to Ron DeSantis. DeSantis has carved out turf in the Republican Party that invites conflict with Donald Trump. He has tacked to the extremist right wing of the party, especially on social issues. His state has restricted abortion, sought to demonize further education in the state as a bastion of liberal power, and he has inflamed tensions over immigration with a series of political stunts. In response to Ron DeSantis' likely presidential bid, Donald Trump has issued threats against the governor. Last November, Trump appeared to warn DeSantis by hinting at political blackmail against DeSantis' potential 2024 run. It was once widely expected that Donald Trump, the only so far declared major candidate for a Republican nomination, would be largely unopposed. But a series of scandals, including meeting with white nationalists and a flop of high-profile Trump-backed candidates in November's midterm elections, has seen Trump's grip on the Republican Party loosen considerably. The Associated Press has also covered this story. Former U.S. President Donald Trump kicked off his 2024 White House bid with stops on Saturday, 28th of January, in New Hampshire and South Carolina, events in early voting states marking the first campaign appearances since announcing his latest run more than 2 months ago. Trump and his allies hoped the events in states with enormous power in selecting the nominee will offer a show of force behind the former president after a sluggish start to his campaign that left many questioning his commitment to running again. While Trump has spent the months since he announced largely ensconced in his Florida club and at his nearby golf course, his aides insist they have been busy behind the scenes. His campaign opened a headquarters in Palm Beach, Florida, and has been hiring staff. And in recent weeks, backers have been reaching out to political operatives and elected officials to secure support for Donald Trump at a critical point, when other Republicans are preparing their own expected challengers. In New Hampshire, Trump promoted his campaign agenda, including immigration and crime, and said his policies would be opposite of President Joe Biden's. He cited the Democrats' move to change the election calendar, costing New Hampshire its leadoff primary spot, and accused Joe Biden, a fifth-place finisher in New Hampshire in 2020, of disgracefully trashing his beloved political tradition. Trump told party members, "I hope you're going to remember that during the general election." Trump himself twice won the primary, but lost the state each time to Democrats. Later in South Carolina, Donald Trump said he planned to keep the state's presidential primary as the first in the South and called it a very important state. In his speech, he hurtled from criticism of Joe Biden and Democrats to mockery of people promoting the use of electric stoves and electric cars, and reminiscing about efforts while serving as president to increase oil production, strike trade deals, and crack down on migration at U.S.-Mexico border. After his South Carolina speech, Donald Trump told the Associated Press in an interview that it would be a great act of disloyalty if Ron DeSantis opposed him in the primary and took credit for the governor's initial election. The Reuters news agency has also covered this story. Now a swathe of other U.S. Republicans seem poised to enter the presidential race. Donald Trump even appeared to give his blessing to his former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, after she informed him that she is considering a 2024 presidential bid. In a Fox News interview earlier this month, when asked about her previous comments about not running for president if Trump ran, Nikki Haley responded that the survival of America matters. She said, "It's bigger than one person, and when you're looking at the future of America, I think it's time for a new generational change. I don't think you need to be 80 years old to go to be a leader in Washington, D.C. I think we need a younger generation to come in, step up, and really start fixing things." Other former Trump cabinet members have also hinted at their presidential bids. Earlier this week, CBS asked former National Security Advisor John Bolton if he was considering a 2024 run. Bolton said that characterization was exactly right. Bolton also criticized Donald Trump's 2024 presidential bid, calling it poison to the Republican Party. John Bolton said, "I think Republicans, especially after the 8th of November elections last year, see that he's poison to the ticket. He cannot be elected president. If he were the Republican nominee, he would doom our chances to get a majority in the Senate and also in the House of Representatives. I don't think he's going to be the Republican nominee." Recently, former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that he will decide whether he will run for president. When asked whether Donald Trump's 2024 presidential bid is having an impact on his own decision-making, Mike Pompeo said, "None." There are also likely to be a host of other Republicans eventually in the race, with people like former Vice President Mike Pence, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and his Virginia counterpart Glenn Youngkin, among names often touted as likely runners.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
رو هدایت میکنه.
It guides us through life.
همه چیز رو تعلیم داده.
It has taught us everything.
باید آموخت. باید فهمید.
We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
و اونگاه پیاده کردن این مفاهیم در واقعیت زندگی است.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. الله.
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله. الله يا الله والحمد لله. الله ولا إله
Imam Khomeini suggests that several practical remedies for curing anger. The theoretical remedy involves reflecting upon the matter, which is also a kind of practical remedy in this case. But among the practical remedies, the important ones involve withholding of the self in the initial stages of anger. This is because it is ignited little by little, becoming more intense until its flame becomes violent and furious. When that happens, it gets completely out of control and shuts off the lights of one's faith and intellect.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear audience, you're listening to another episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to read some of the speeches and sentences of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi about different subjects and contexts. We do that in the hope to come to a deeper understanding of this great character. Now, in this episode, what we're going to do is to talk about Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi's views on Islam and our deeds. And in that regard, he said, "What makes hardships easy to bear is the fact that we tolerate them for the sake of Islam." This sentence refers to the final purpose of tolerating any difficulty. When you set a certain purpose in your studies, for example,
What you do is to spend time studying, though you may prefer to do anything else at the very time. You may want to enjoy yourself, but the thing that fastens you to what you're doing is your purpose. When you have a purpose, especially a moral one, all the difficulties will seem possible and bearable. Here, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is referring to the major purpose of life of a Muslim, and that is our religion. We as Muslims may have different challenges in the modern world, but what helps us tolerate all these challenges is our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His promise to support true believers. This is in line with this beautiful verse in the Holy Book of Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. O man, you are laboring towards your Lord laboriously, and you will encounter Him. Surah Al-Inshiqaq, verse number 6. When the Muslims meet difficulties, they should know that tolerating and dealing with those difficulties are not in vain, and there would be a sweet result in them, especially when the difficulties stem from your choice of being a Muslim and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are lots of great characters, not only in the history of Islam, but also in these 40 years of the history of the revolution. So we must keep that in mind, that every pressure we, for being Muslim, meet and tolerate is awarded and seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this type of patience is so much praised in the Holy Book of Quran, as it holds in the Surah Al-Baqarah, and give good news to the patient.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The United States has suffered some of its biggest bank failures since 2008. Silicon Valley Bank, the 16th largest bank in the U.S., failed after depositors hurried to withdraw money over concerns of a liquidity crisis. Officials say they acted to protect insured depositors. Regulators have taken control of the lender's deposits and transferred the assets to a newly created entity. Nearly half of the American technology and healthcare companies that went public last year after getting early funding from venture capital firms were Silicon Valley Bank customers. Moreover, a large number of startups will not be able to make payroll at some point in the next month if they cannot access their money. The lender had been under pressure lately due to fears of recession, higher interest rates, and a slowdown in the market for initial public offerings. The factors had made it harder for startups to raise additional cash. But Silicon Valley Bank was not the only U.S. financial institution to fail. Following the collapse of SVB, customers withdrew more than $10 billion in deposits from New York-based Signature Bank. Regulators have now said that Signature was taken over to protect its depositors and the stability of the U.S. financial system. Signature had 40 branches, assets of $110.36 billion, and deposits of $88.59 billion at the end of 2022. Signature Bank was founded in 2001 as a more business-friendly alternative to the big banks. It expanded to the West Coast and then opened itself to the crypto industry in 2018.
Signature Bank is a business mostly bank with actually pretty good deposits relative to lending. And it closed mainly because I think the same thing we're seeing across the banking industry, sort of a psychology of investors losing faith in the credit quality of banking in general.
And there are a lot of red flags here. That's certainly one of them, the concentration in one industry, the explosive growth over the last year. They literally doubled in size from 100 some odd billion to over 200 billion in assets, catapulting them into one of the largest size echelon of banks in the US. They also had a very, as they say in the banking world and accounting, they had a very mismatched portfolio.
The bank failures have sparked fears of contagion in the financial sector, not only in the United States, but also in other countries. Bank shares in the US, Asia, and Europe have slumped following the collapse of SVB and Signature Bank. Investors have started to worry about the general state of the banking sector. Smaller US lenders were particularly hard hit. Investors are concerned that the failures are a sign of troubles at other firms. Several pension funds in the US and at least two overseas have lost millions of dollars due to the crisis. Institutions such as the California Public Employees Retirement Fund, the California State Teachers Retirement System, Korea's National Pension Service, and Sweden's Elective Pension Fund had reportedly invested in SVB. Analysts believe Silicon Valley Bank's collapse is likely to be felt across the technology landscape globally over the coming years.
But, you know, you also have the question of the impact on the financial technology and research and development, venture capital industries in the United States. There's $160 billion potentially tied up in this receivership that the venture capital industry could lose.
Governments in the United Kingdom and the United States have taken extraordinary steps to stop a potential banking crisis. The UK Treasury and the Bank of England have announced that they had facilitated the sale of SVB UK to HSBC, Europe's biggest bank, ensuring the security of £6.7 billion of deposits. President Biden has also pledged stiffer bank regulations, forcing regulators to step in with a series of emergency measures.
Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Let me also assure you, we will not stop at this. We'll do whatever is needed.
The crisis has underscored the risks to banks from the end of easy money. Global borrowing costs have risen as the Federal Reserve lifted U.S. rates by 450 basis points from near zero. The European Central Bank hiked the Eurozone's by 300. There are concerns that price inflation will stay high, something that would drive further rate hikes.
Tensions between the U.S. and Russia have risen to unprecedented levels after Washington accused Moscow of colliding with one of its Reaper surveillance drones, forcing it to crash into the Black Sea waters off Crimea. Russia denied it deliberately brought the unmanned aerial vehicle down. Moscow says the drone went down after stalling and never came into contact with another aircraft. Russia says the UAV was flying towards the Russian border without an active transponder, in clear violation of the restricted area established for the conduct of the special military operation. Two interceptors were dispatched to investigate. As a result of sharp maneuvers, the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle went into uncontrolled flight, lost altitude, and collided with the water surface. The Russian fighters did not use weapons, did not come into contact with the UAV, and returned safely to their home base. That's what the Russian Defense Ministry stated. But the U.S. has rejected Russia's explanation, accusing Russian jets of an unsafe and unprofessional intercept of the drone. U.S. military officials claimed their spy drone was operating in international airspace when a pair of Su-27 jets appeared, sprayed it with fuel, and struck the propeller of the UAV, which caused it to crash into the sea.
But there is a pattern of behavior recently where there is a little bit more aggressive actions that are being conducted by the Russians. We haven't completed our analysis as to why that's happening. And it wasn't just involving us. There were some incidents earlier with the British and some other nations as well.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has already reached out to his Russian counterpart, Sergei Shoigu, to discuss the incidents. The last time Shoigu and Austin spoke was in October 2022. The latest incident has further strained the already tense relations between the two nations.
I just got off the phone with my Russian counterpart, Minister Shoigu. As I've said repeatedly, it's important that great powers be models of transparency and communication. And the United States will continue to fly and to operate wherever international law allows. And it is incumbent upon Russia to operate its military aircraft in a safe and professional manner.
The Kremlin said on Wednesday that relations with the U.S. were in a lamentable state and at their lowest level. Calls are already growing loud in the U.S. to retaliate against Russia. Hawkish Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has suggested opening fire on Russian fighter jets that intercept U.S. drones.
They shot down our drone. What should our answer be?
Well, we should hold them accountable and say that if you ever get near another U.S. set flying in international waters, your airplane would be shot down. What would Ronald Reagan do right now? He would start shooting Russian planes down if they were threatening our assets.
Russia's ambassador to the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said the senator's call to shoot down Russian aircraft went far beyond common sense and risked all-out war between the world's largest nuclear powers. Since Russia started the military operation in eastern Ukraine, contact between American and Russian military leaders has been limited. Meanwhile, Italy's foreign minister, Antonio Tajani, has said that the drone crash represents a moment of great tension in relations between Moscow and Washington. He also urged the West and Russia to exercise caution so that they could avoid a direct clash. The crisis comes as the war is still raging on in eastern Ukraine. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has said Russian forces must be stopped in Bakhmut and other towns in the east. Russia has said the capturing of Bakhmut opens a path to taking control of the entire Donetsk region, one of its central war aims.
Wagner PMC units have practically surrounded Bakhmut. Only one road is left open to Ukrainian forces. The pincers are getting tighter. If earlier the professional Ukrainian army fought with us, today we see more and more old people and children.
Russian forces and fighters from Wagner Group have captured Bakhmut's east, but have apparently failed to encircle the city. NATO also warned last week that Bakhmut could fall within a matter of days.
China's President Xi Jinping has pledged to bolster the country's security and build the military into a great wall of steel to defend Beijing's interests.
So as to guarantee a new development pattern through a new security architecture, we should further advance our mobilization drive in terms of national defense and military, and to turn China's military into a great wall of steel that will effectively defend the country's sovereignty, security, and development interests.
He also stressed the need for an improved national security system as well as an improved social governance system.
Security is the foundation for development. Stability is the prerequisite for prosperity. We should implement a holistic approach to national security and improve our national security system, strengthen our capacity for safeguarding national security, and enhance public safety governance, as well as to improve the social governance system.
He also reiterated Beijing's opposition to secessionist activities and external interference in Taiwan. Xi's remarks came in his closing speech to China's parliament, the National People's Congress, where last week he secured unanimous support for an unprecedented third term in office. During his speech, Xi also said China must achieve greater self-resilience and strength in science and technology, a call that comes as the United States blocks China's access to chip-making equipment and other cutting-edge technologies. Meanwhile, China's premier has said some people in the U.S. have been trumpeting decoupling from China in recent years.
I know that in recent years, some in the United States have been trumpeting the idea of decoupling from China, and sometimes it could become quite a hot topic on the media. But I wonder how many people can truly benefit from this kind of hype. According to Chinese statistics, two-way trade between China and the United States last year totaled $760 billion, which again set a new record in history.
Kiang said China and the United States can't and must cooperate, and there are a lot that the two countries can achieve by working together. He stressed that encirclement and suppression are in no one's interests. The latest remarks by Xi Jinping regarding China's focus on security comes as relations with the U.S. have hit their lowest point in decades. Chinese officials had previously warned that Washington's efforts to contain Beijing's interests could lead to conflict and confrontation between the two superpowers. America's increasingly confrontational posture toward China is a significant shift in the U.S. foreign policy that needs greater scrutiny and debate. For most of the past half century, the United States sought to reshape China through economic and diplomatic engagement. In the case of the Trump administration, through economic and diplomatic disengagement. The Biden administration, by contrast, has shelved the idea that China can be changed in favor of the hope that it can be checked. The White House has moved to limit economic ties with China, to limit China's access to technology with military applications, to pull back from international institutions where the United States has long sought to engage China, and to strengthen ties with China's neighbors. In recent months, the United States has restricted semiconductor exports to China, and this week it moved ahead with plans to help Australia obtain nuclear submarines. The administration also is seeking to impose new restrictions on American investments in certain Chinese companies. In treating China as a growing threat to American interests, it is acting with broad support, including from leading Republicans, much of the military and foreign policy establishments, and a growing portion of the business community. China also is demonstrating a greater willingness to engage in worrying provocations, mounting military displays in the South China Sea and Taiwan Strait. China and the U.S. have locked themselves into a new cycle of recriminations, provoking fresh worries that the world's two biggest economies are heading down a path that could one day lead to the once unthinkable, the possibility of open conflict. The dueling narratives brought into focus how the U.S. and China increasingly have one thing in common, a growing distrust of the other side. Even worse, the escalating rhetoric is entrenching divisions that could make it harder for both sides to find a way to coexist peacefully over the long term.
In an utter disregard for the public, the French Senate has voted in favor of President Emmanuel Macron's unpopular pension reforms plan, bringing the package one more step toward becoming a law. 195 members of the upper house of the French parliament voted for the legislation, with 112 against. That amid days-long nationwide protests against the move. The plan, which aims to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, has drawn hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions, out to the streets or walk out from their jobs across France. The protests and rolling strikes have affected refineries, public transport, and garbage collections, with the aim to pressure the government to withdraw the plan. Macron has argued that the procedure is essential to ensure the pension system does not run out of money. His cabinet members have praised the reforms. In a tweet, Prime Minister Elizabeth Warren wrote, "It is a key step to make a reform happen that will guarantee the future of our pension system." Now that the Senate has adopted the bill, it will be reviewed by a joint committee of lower and upper house lawmakers. If approved, the plan will be put to vote in the country's National Assembly later this week. That's where the government needs a majority to sign the bill into law. If the government fails to assemble a majority, Prime Minister Warren could deploy a highly controversial constitutional tool known as Article 49(3) to push the legislation through without a vote. Elizabeth Warren has repeatedly said she wants to avoid resorting to the 49(3) procedure, but she might have no other option if there is a real risk of not having enough votes. The possibility of using Article 49(3) comes as many unionists have already warned President Macron against forcing the parliament by pushing the text through without a vote from MPs of the National Assembly. Secretary General of the French CFDT Union Laurent Berger says using 49(3) would be very dangerous, as it risks creating a great degree of bitterness. French unions have called for an 8th round of nationwide demonstrations on the day of voting to keep up the pressure on the government and the parliament. The opponents of the plan argue that it would penalize low-skilled workers who start their careers early while reducing their right to leisure and a long retirement at the end. Many appear ready to fight for a better work-life balance after years of being pushed to work harder. But for many others, raising the retirement age feels like the last straw. For some others, it is a red line. According to government figures, nearly 1.3 million people took to the streets Tuesday last week to vent their anger, making it the highest turnout since the start of the protest movement. The figure is indicative of the fact that the French are showing signs of burnout and a change in attitude towards the workplace. Jean Jaurès Foundation researchers found that although 60% of the French rated their job as really important in their lives in 1990, only 21% did so in October 2022. Moreover, 60% of the French say they would rather earn less and have more free time, which is itself a sign of frustration among the French public about the jobs they're working. If this trend continues to persist, no one would guess what economic repercussions will be waiting for the French society soon. From a different perspective, this frustration with the workplace clashes with the president who pitched himself as a candidate at work. For Macron, however, there is a lot at stake. Failure to reform pensions would tarnish the rest of his second and final term and stop his reformist passion dead in his tracks. On the other hand, the growing discontent with the establishment would be something the government would not want to deal with ever.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with Brother Fawad Haider, Ali Nasir, and Hassan Nasrullah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine?
Great.
That's good. Fawad Haider, how are you doing?
Alam, sir, I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. And Hassan Nasrullah?
Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How about you?
Fine, sir.
Good. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope, inshallah, you stay with us till the end of this session. Today, we are going to work on Ayah 30 of Surah Ali Imran on page 54. So, brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran, turn to page 54, ayah 30 of Surah Ali Imran. So, everybody, let's listen once to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا ويحذركم الله نفسه والله رؤوف بالعباد.
Now I will recite this ayah, right? And inshallah, make sure you listen carefully and then repeat. Brothers and sisters, please practice the recitation. Then inshallah, we'll move on with the explanation. We'll have a short explanation. Then inshallah, the tajweed rules. Are you ready?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء
يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء
وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا
وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا
وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ
وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ
وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ
والله رؤوف بالعباد.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا ويحذركم الله نفسه وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. It says, the day, it talks about the day of judgment, okay? يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The day that every soul will find present whatever good it has done, okay? And as to whatever evil it has done. So, whatever we do in this world, we'll see every single thing present. If we do good things, hasanat, we'll see. If God forbid we commit sins, sayyat, we'll see. Every single, that day I told you the story of the man who just smiled at the kid, okay? Who was in the car, like his dad and mom were fighting, okay, together, having arguments. But he made a smile at that kid, okay? And that kid started laughing. So the mom and dad, okay, started laughing as well. So then they shared love. They changed their decision. They were about to, God forbid, to get divorced. Yes, but they changed their mind. They said, oh, we got a good family. Look, this man wouldn't even believe that he will see this hasana in the day of judgment, but he saw that. Yeah, present.
Yes.
So, he had like a near-death experience. So in his near-death experience, he saw that. Now, Allah Almighty says that you will see every single thing you do. Good things, bad things, you will see. مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا. You see it present there. Okay? وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ as well present. So, when you see the good things, you're so happy. But when you see the bad things, what happens? You say, تَوَدُّ. It says that every soul, every person who sees his bad like his sins, he says tawaddu, he loves, he wishes. لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا. He wishes that there was a big distance between him and his bad deeds. He wishes he even didn't do them. Yes? But that day, it's not possible. You have done it. It's already recorded. So we wish, inshallah, you always do good deeds, hasanat, inshallah, and stay away from sayyat. This is the last message. The best thing in obedience, in ita'at of Allah is to do hasanat and stay away from sayyat. That's enough.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
الله حمتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
Now, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, for more explanation. Let's move on with the Tajweed rules, Ali Nasir, Fawad, and Hassan. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ. Right? This is the way you read without Tajweed. نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ. But the Tajweed rule says?
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام has to be applied here. نَفْسِمْ. Right? نَفْسِمْ. Nasal sound. A ghunna sound, and also two counts, two beats. Nafsim amilat. Ayn has to be very clearly and correctly pronounced. Min khayr, min khayrin. This is the way you read, and that's correct. There is no tajweed rule, special tajweed rule, yes. It is idhar, it says, no rule, right? Min khayrin. Why? After nun sakin we have the letter. Kha, right? Min khayrin. Muh khayrin plus meem.
Idgham.
Idgham, right? Khayrim muhdara, right? Muhdaran. If you stop here, yeah, you change the tanween fatha to?
Ha.
Alif mad. Alif mad. A sound. Muhdara. But when you connect it with the next part of the ayah, you merge the sound with waw. The tanween merges with what? With waw. مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. مِنْ سُوءٍ. مِنْ سُوءٍ. Nun sakin plus sin.
إخفى.
مِنْ سُوءٍ. Hide the sound of noon and produce a nasal sound. Hide a hidden noon sound. hidden, noon sound. Min, not min. Clearly do not say the noon sound. Min, right?
Yes.
Su has a mad on the top. Is the mad wajib here, Ali Nasir? What do you think?
Yeah, it is wajib.
It is wajib, yes?
Yes.
You have to stretch it for six counts. Why, Hassan, Hamza, and Alif Mad?
In the same letter.
Same word. Same word, yes? Yeah. He means in the same word. Not in the two separate words. They are in the same word. Su. So, you got to stretch the sound. And also, su. In. After su. In. Tanween. After tanween, what do you have?
Ta.
Ta is from the rest of the letters.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa is applied. You hide the sound of tanween. Produce a hidden noon sound. Min su in. Hidden noon sound. So, tawaddu. Low. Low has the ow sound. Ow, lean sound. Low. An. Bain. An. Noon mushaddad. Idgham. A gunna sound. An. Bainaha wa bainahu has a stretched sound, a longer sound. Yes?
Yes.
You see the baby ya? Baby wow? Amadan ba'ida amadan. Tanween plus ba. Huh?
Aqlaab.
Amadan ba'ida. Yes? Qila tells you it's better to?
Stop.
Stop. Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
Yeah. What does Sila tell you?
It's better to continue.
Continue. But it's Pelawi, it's better to stop here. So we stop here. Wa yuhadhiru. Yuhadhiru. Dhal has to be pronounced correctly. Wa yuhadhirukumullahu. Allah, the letter lam has to be pronounced with heavy sound.
Yes.
Wa yuhadhirukumullahu nafsah. Wallahu ra'ufun bil'ibad. Ra'ufun iqlab. And bil-ibad, dal has to produce a bouncing sound. That's all. Alhamdulillah, we finished this ayah. Inshallah, next session, we'll move on with the rest of the ayah. So, Fawad, Hassan, Ali Nasir, any questions?
No.
Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for listening to IRIB English Radio. We really recommend you stay with IRIB English Radio, inshallah, for the next coming sessions. Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, thanks to Xavier International Schools Network, thanks to Fawad, Hassan, and Ali Nasir. See you in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.